punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy and Jansen. My partner in crime is in here today, Miss Jancy Ripto. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's your vacation been?
It's been really nice.
It's coming to a screeching halt pretty quick, though.
It is.
When do you guys go back to school?
Monday.
Monday?
Mm-hmm.
That's a holiday.
No.
No.
Not to Merritt, it's not.
No, not to Merritt. Probably not to a lot of schools. You guys been out like a month.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, did you have any fun during the cold weather last week?
I wouldn't say fun, but, yeah, we did a lot during the cold. Bedded down everything, worked pigs inside, but, yeah, that's about all we did.
How are the pigs?
They look good.
They look good.
Yeah.
You showed some good ones at Elk City here.
I did.
A while back. But I seen your father,
Oh, God.
And your brother at Atwoods right before Christmas. And all I remember from the whole conversation is your father wished he had brought your brother. He was ready to beat him before they got out of Atwoods. So anyway, it was all fun. Weather conditions right now, crazy. It's 42 degrees in the Panhandle, 50 degrees at Slapout that's in the Panhandle, but way west of there, it's a little chilly. Arnett, home of the world-famous Lori Campbell, 54 degrees, and Putnam, the home of the world-famous Lori White of B&L Red Angus, 61, 66 degrees at Hollis, 62 at Eric, and 62 at Shamrock, Texas, and 55 degrees at Canadian, Texas. How about that? Is it nice out there? I haven't been out. Is the wind calmed down? Or
it's calmed down a little bit, but not much.
I was driving north of Sayre, and I looked across there, and I thought, what is that? I was looking to the west towards Sweetwater, and all of a sudden, I seen those wind tires start moving, and that front coming out of the west hit with a vengeance. So it was dusty, ugly. I didn't see that in the forecast, so I don't know what was going on. We got a special guest today. Guess who?
Who?
Guess who? We have Cole Sonny. He is, him and his father, they farm and ranch up in South Dakota, Mount Vernon, South Dakota, to be exact. They're going to be on here. He does a lot of YouTubing and Facebooking. His wife, Tiffany, is in there with him, and his dad, Brian. And they crack me up, but they get her done. They have a, looks like a oil machine farming and ranching operation up there, and they're going to be on here. You guys think it's cold here. Wait till we get to talk to these guys, huh?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so you got to be coming up with some questions.
I'm on it.
You're on it already? Anyway, so let's check out some grain prices real quick, if it'll come up. There it is. Anyway, let me refresh it. Maybe. There, I got her. There we go. All right, corn grain prices for March, $6.79, May $6.79, and July $6.73. They're in the red right now. This morning, they were in the green pretty good. They were $6.85 a bushel, the highest I've seen today. Soybean, January $15.06, March is $15.14, May is $15.21. And soybean meal for January is $463.80 a short ton. March is $458.50 and May is $448.90. Soybean oil for January, $66.64 a pound. March is $66.50. May is $65.79. Hard red winter wheat, $8.67 for March. May is $8.62. Oats for May are $3.69, $3.67 for May. And we'll take a look down here at cotton. March, it's down today. March is 83 cents a pound, so is May. Live cattle for December, 158.67. February's 159.12. April's 162.70. June is 158.45. Feeder cattle for January, 184.12. March is 186.95. Lean hogs for February, 89.27. April is 95.92. And May is 101.62. All right. Well, since you're here, and where'd you go? You had something going on the next... You were sick or something, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was sick. Yeah, I had semester test 1 week, and then I was sick the next week.
Let's talk about that hog show at Elk City. That was a good one. Oh, don't roll your eyes at me. There was a lot of good hogs
there. There was some good pigs there.
There was some good pigs there. I know. You girls are never happy with the judges, are you?
No.
Anyway, I could tell you were not really content with what was going on, so I didn't give you crap over this loudspeaker system. I wanted to. Believe me, I wanted to. So I picked on the little Barnell kid.
Oh, I know. Tyson.
Yeah, he gave me the look.
I was just with his older sister, and we were talking about that.
Yeah, he gave me the look. He was like, when I hollered out his name, because he was doing a great job showing.
Yeah, he's good.
And the one thing that I noticed about him and a few other kids, and I'm not downplaying the rest of the kids. It's not a one-man. It's young kids. But anyway, what is he, 10?
Probably, yeah.
He's the same age as Ruger. How's Ruger?
10.
10. Anyway, so he walked to that judge and grabbed his hand like a vice grip, shook it, and that's what I was calling him out on. Great job. I mean, he did a good job showing, too. And he turned around and gave me what I call the woman look. And then after the show, I went back there. I said, hey, what's the problem with you? His dad said, he takes his stuff serious, and he just lost. So anyway, I said, I understand. But anyway, I was complimenting him. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there's so when's the next show?
January 7th at Altus is the next Show Pig Series show. I'm showing this weekend at Altus at the New Year's Bash.
What's that?
It's Saturday and Sunday. It's a 2-day show. It's just a big New Year's show. It's a really big show. We didn't show there last year, but we decided to show down there this year for New Year's.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to let out on public news what you're taking, are you?
No, because I don't know what I'm taking yet.
Oh, I got you. Anyway, so you got the New Year's Bash this Saturday at Altus, and then the next one is part of the Southwest Oklahoma Pig Series. Did I get that right?
Southwest Oklahoma Show Pig Series,
Show Pig Series.
7th at Altus, the 14th at Elk City, and then the 28th at Weatherford is the last one.
So your weekends are shot this month.
And we're leaving the 15th for Denver the day after show at Elk City.
Yeah, because, that's right. You're going to Denver this year.
Yes, I am.
It's your senior year, and mm-hmm. you're going to get to do whatever you want and go show wherever you want to, right?
Yep.
That's what I thought. Anyway, well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to have Sunny Farms on from Mount Vernon, South Dakota, and we're going to see if we can talk them into letting you and me come up there and go pheasant hunting.
Sounds good to me.
And we'll get somebody to go with us and film it. And we'll have Chancey and Jimmy's outdoor show going on. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, because they're just a FYI. So they're west of Mitchell, South Dakota. Well, at Mitchell, it's one of the biggest Cabela's stores in the United States. And they have the biggest display of white-tailed deer in the world in there. But right north of Mitchell is a place called Redfield, if I get that right. Yeah, I think it's Redfield. And it is the pheasant capital of the world. So you know I've been up there because I'm kind of throwing this around like I know what it did. And it's the only time that I've ever been any kind of bird hunting that we, about 10 of us guys, surrounded a 2-acre spot of cactails. And when the pheasants got up, it darkened the sun. And that's no joke. I've never seen so many birds in all my life. So anyway, when we come back, we'll be talking to Cole. And I don't know if his wife, Tiffany, or his dad, Brian, is going to be on with him. But it's going to be a real fun conversation today. You guys will enjoy this guy. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk.
First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
High school juniors and seniors, do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a mechanical aptitude competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Before we get our guest on the show with us today, Jancy, how's the weather? Give us a Lone Ranger up there. I don't know, Camargo, Putnam, somebody.
Lone Ranger forecast for Putnam's currently 59 degrees. Tonight's partly cloudy, a low of 29. Tomorrow's mostly sunny, high of 52 with a low around 33. Saturday's partly sunny, high 57, low around 36. New Year's Day, high of 59, mostly cloudy. Saturday or Sunday night, cloudy with a low of 45. Winds out of the south at a high of 9 miles an hour.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, on the phone with me right now is Cole Sonny. They have the Sonny Farms alongside his dad, Brian, in southeastern South Dakota. Together, they raise a purebred black Angus herd and provide bulls for other beef producers to feed their cattle throughout the winter. Sonny Farms spends the summer months putting up grass and alfalfa hay. That sounds kind of like us, doesn't it?
Does a little bit, yes.
Yeah. And livestock and hay aren't the only things that keep the Sonnies busy. A lot of time is spent preparing fields in the spring for harvesting corn and soybeans in the fall to get jobs done on time And efficiently, Cole's Uncle Jeff takes care of important jobs like cutting hay, feeding cattle, driving a truck. For the Sunnies, farming is much more than occupation. Farming truly is a family-oriented way of life. You can find them on their YouTube channel, Sunny Farms, S-O-N-N-E. And it's great. Cole, are you on here yet?
Yes, I'm still here.
So I stole that off of your page, or obviously you must have wrote this. So.
Yeah, I was thinking that sounded pretty dang good.
Well, anyway, I told you, I got you on the phone a while ago. I really enjoy watching, you know, there's a lot of farmers and ranchers out there that have YouTube channels and on social media and stuff. And, yours caught my attention when I seen Farm Rescue and the deal. I had the guy that runs Farm Rescue on my show here a couple weeks ago, and from up there, it's not down here yet. We have our own version of Farm Rescue down here, but that one that you're involved with and you got your farm actually sponsors, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. They really do something amazing. You know, as the American farm has gotten bigger, it's been tougher for, you know, if a neighbor gets sick or injured, for other neighbors to come in and help out, you know, finish harvest or finish planting. You know, it used to be, yeah, I can hop over and do your extra 100 or 200 acres. Well, now farms are 1,000, 2,000, maybe even 10,000, 20,000, and so it's not achievable for a neighbor in some situations to help out because there's just so much that needs done. So yeah, Farm Rescue can come in and really take a load off that farmer that either got sick or got in a farm accident or whatever happened. So, you know, they can just think about healing and not have to have all that stress.
Another thing I enjoy about your YouTube channel is that it's real. There's nothing fake going on out there. You got a water leak, you're going to fix it. You say hi to your dog or your mom and dad's dogs, whoever dog it is, every morning. And you fire up the pickup and leave the house. I mean, you make it real. And some people probably realize the difference in the weather and the culture between Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is up there in South Dakota because the weather's different. I mean, I worked in North Dakota for 4 years on and off for 2 and 3 weeks at a time, and it's a different beast up there. How do you guys do it? I mean, people want to know, how do you do it? Because we had that weather last week, and that's not saying we don't have bad weather down here, but we had the stuff that you guys get all the time, and a lot of things just didn't operate that great.
Well, you know, it's kind of taking it a day at a time, and, you know, we get breaks here and there. Just like, you know, last week it was really cold. We had lows as far down as negative 19, and the wind was blowing 28 mile an hour. Well, you know, you just got to struggle through that week or two, and then you come to this week, and we're hitting highs of 39. And so, you know, it's give and take. It's, you know, taking it one day at a time and getting through it. The other thing is you can put more layers on. You just can only take so many off, you know. So just kind of keep bundling up and try to stay out of the weather. You know, you got to do what you got to do, feed the cattle and give them wind breaks and bed them, but yeah, you lay low and maybe go in the house a little bit more often on those terrible days. But, yeah, taking it easy and doing what you have to and getting out of it and getting by the fireplace at the end of the day pretty much.
Well, I noticed you guys got a feedlot up there, and you got Angus cattle up there, and you got some great-looking cattle. And before I go on any further, are you guys coming down to the Cattlemen's Congress by chance?
I don't think we're going to make it this year, but I did go to the NCBA last, I think that was February, and that was in Houston, Texas, so that was pretty cool getting to see all these big farm trucks showing up and people checking out some new and exciting equipment coming to the beef world. But no, I don't think we'll be making that one this year.
Okay, I got you. Because a lot of beef producers are coming from all over the country, and actually two or three countries down here to Oklahoma City to the Cattlemen's Congress, and they're showing off their stock. And I know, I haven't got to really see any of your bulls. I've seen a lot of your cattle or your cows, but The it's a matter of fact, next Friday, I'm going to take a break from the show and I'm going to the CAB Angus Bull Sale up there. So it ought to be fun. So you guys need to bring some of your stock down here next year.
Yeah.
There's a what all right. So back to your water tanks that I was going to ask about. How do you keep them things so thawed out as you do on there? Because last week we had, like, I was cutting 9-inch ice in our tanks. And I know you guys just have that all the time. Is there any, you got any secrets you can share with us?
Well, so about half of our water tanks are fed by an artesian well, which is basically water in the ground that's got some pressure to it. And so, no, it doesn't take any electricity. That just keeps coming up from the pressure in the ground. And so it's always flowing every day. And so some of those tanks, they just never freeze over because there's always water running into them.
Right.
Now, the caveat to that is, obviously, it's overflowing 24/7. So you usually got some waste ground next to it that's just underwater all the time. But, you know, in the winter, when you got cows somewhere and you don't have to chip ice, that's a pretty nice deal. Now, with our feedlots here at home, it's pretty simple. We turn them on, we kind of recognize how much they're drinking, and we shut them off. And we hope that by the next day, that tank is at least halfway drank down. Because then if there's some ice in there, well, that's fine. This new water that's coming up from the ground, that will heat it up and whatever, thaw it out. And so it's just kind of being a good maintainer, not giving them too much water so that it goes into the nighttime with it completely full. And then, you know, when you got a full frozen tank, you can't put more water in there. Then you got to start chipping ice and throwing ice out. So we just do a good job of recognizing how much they're drinking and putting in just the right amount so it's drank down a little bit by the cold winter hours.
Yeah, one of those videos, I was sitting there watching you pouring a one-gallon jug into the water tank, and I thought, what's he putting in there, RB antifreeze? And then I got to watching further. You was taking hot water out there from the shop and thawing out the floats. So anyway, yep. Got to watching it because I thought, what's he pouring in there? I got to find out what he's pouring in there. Well, it was hot water. So
yeah, I don't think antifreeze would work out too good. But
yeah, it'd probably take a lot as much water. Water as the cattle goes through there. Well, how many head of Angus mamas you guys got?
So across our farms, it's around 200-250 mama cows.
I got you. And then how many bulls do you guys have there all the time? Because as I said earlier, you guys sell bulls private treaties to other bull producers or other cattle producers.
Yeah, so we end up with anywhere from 65 to 80 purebred Black Angus bulls that will sell as yearlings. So Dad's been doing that for 20, I think this is his 26th year that he's doing that, the bull sale thing.
That's a year old, so more than year old, right?
So we sell them yearlings. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yep. What I meant was, that was Jim Bonnick's language, sorry. So your dad started selling bulls a year before you were born, is what I meant to say.
Yep, bingo.
Yeah, so there's a... all right, so how important is genetics to you guys?
Well, you know, every year when we weigh our bulls, when we're pulling them off pasture, we, of course, know who their daddy was, and we put that in an Excel sheet, and you use a couple formulas, and you can see which sired the heaviest calves. And, you know, you can have anywhere from 5-pound difference from bull to bull, or you can have 40-pound difference, depending on who their dad was. And so it's pretty clear right there, you know. You buy one bull, and it maybe breeds 30 cows. And every year, if that bull was 40 pounds, all those calves were 40 pounds more than another sire you could have used, that's hundreds, that's thousands of extra dollars of beef that you get to sell each year. So it's pretty obvious if you pay extra for a better bull, you can pay for that bull. And it works out. You put it on paper and you figure out that it's worth buying a good bull. But also, you know, there's a lot of commercial herds that they don't need to be spending $10,000, $20,000 on a bull. And so we're kind of in that easier on the pocketbook market. We don't go crazy and charge our customers that big money, you know. It's kind of a give and take. A little bit on genetics, of course, but also a little bit on savings.
On your pocket.
And yep.
Do you guys pay a lot of attention to your genetics, your EPDs and all that stuff, your ribeye and all that stuff, so they can match it up with cows pretty good, marbling the whole nine yards?
Yep. So we go to stale barns, and, you know, we buy the high-dollar bulls so our customers don't have to, is kind of what our mindset is.
Great. That's good, because I'm sure your dad could say this, and he's been doing this 26 years. In 26 years, genetics and the cattle market and everything has changed so much. And you hear, and you guys are a great example of, you know, the last two or three years there's been a lot going on in the news and commotions around cattlemen about, you know, the packers are making all the money and stuff. Well, mm-hmm. You guys got your own operation going where you're selling bulls private charity to people. And if I noticed in one of your YouTube videos, you know, it's first come, first serve. So you're making a little extra money by having the Black Angus bulls, purebreds out there and selling them off the farm and stuff. And instead of cutting those bulls and taking them to the sale barn.
Yeah. That little bit of premium that we add to them has certainly helped us grow on the farm, and we definitely put all that money right back into the farm, seeing what we can do better, upgrading things that can help us be more efficient. And yeah, it's when Dad decided to do this 26 years ago, he tells me the story on how his dad said to him, "You really think you can do that?" And, you know, that probably gave Dad a little bit more of a drive, but it's definitely changed the course of this farm when he decided to do that and was pretty successful at doing it.
So you come back on full time to help your dad, because I think I seen you went to college, correct?
Yeah, I went to South Dakota State University for four years, and yep. So trying to balance helping Dad out and also having a social life and experience the things at college. So my first couple years, I spent quite a bit of time up there, but later on, especially when 2018, 2019 came around, when it was so dang. Anyway, we had some crazy winters. I was driving through blizzards just to get home so I could help Dad with, you know, some of those hard chores, whereas, you know, a lot of people would be like, oh, I better stay up here.
Right.
Not be driving through that, but, yep.
Well, you guys got a pretty salty football team this year, too, or you have been quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, yep. Well, let's take a break real quick. When we come back, I'll ask you a little bit more about your cattle, and we'll ease off into your putting up hay, alfalfa, and whatever else you guys put up. I want to quiz you a little bit about that, because hay is a big item this year with the shortage and stuff in a lot of areas with this big drought going on. So if you'll just hang on there for a minute, we'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 16th. 1,979 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 387 brought 258. 7 at 401 brought 224. 9 at 473 brought 210. 4 at 564 brought 182. 5 at 632 brought 176. 22 at 645 brought 180. 3 at 685 brought 164. 8 head heifers at 389 brought 192. 13 at 476 brought 169. 3 at 528 brought 166. 5 at 610 brought 163.50. 8 at 615 brought 157. 4 at 704 brought 156. 5 at 983 brought 140. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 98. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 1100 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35-micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Guess what I'm going to announce today?
What?
This ain't no bull. It's a bunch of bulls. We understand bull and female sales are a hot commodity right now. That's why we are going to be featuring Jimmy's bull and female sale calendar in the Penny News on the Today in Ag page. If you have a bull or a female sale coming up and want it listed on the calendar, call 580-225-7355. When somebody places a bull or female and or a female sale ad in the Penny News, I will mention it on my show once a week while your ad runs. How about that?
Sounds good.
So you need to get your own page started in the Penny News.
Maybe.
And start doing hogs.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, since you're part owner of the Spring Creek Genetics. Well, back on the show with us is Mr. Cole Sonny. Are you there still, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, we were talking about your cattle and your bulls and stuff like that. Well, you got to feed them. But before we get into that, Jancy's got something she wants to ask you.
Hi, Cole. I'm Jancy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, so Jimmy's covered a whole lot, but I just had one question. What made you decide to start your YouTube channel?
Yeah, well, it was kind of by accident. I've always liked flying and, you know, going on trips and riding in airplanes. Well, I didn't have the skills for that, so I bought a drone because I wanted one. And then I had this drone, and I was like, well, what am I going to do with that? So I just started taking video of us doing various things, you know, making hay, planting, harvesting. And then, okay, now I have this video. What am I supposed to do with this? Well, I guess I'll throw it on YouTube. And just by accident, a couple of the videos started getting quite a few views, and I was getting some subscribers, and it's like, wow, that's interesting. People want to see more of this. Well, then I, with the kind of push from my parents, and I'm talking about maybe talking to the camera and not just having drone video, kind of trying vlogging, more of a vlog-style format, we just kind of started doing that, and First ones were shot with my phone. I had an iPhone 6 at the time, so the quality wasn't that great, but just kind of stuck with it. And almost 4 years later, here we are with, I think, 225,000 subscribers on YouTube and over 70 million views.
Her eyes just lit wide open. And the good thing about it is your dad fits right in with your plot.
Yeah, he's kind of the comedic relief, you know. There's a lot of people watching my videos that have never stepped on a farm a day in their life, and that's awesome. We love that. And so I gotta make sure I'm explaining things so people understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then my dad gets the luxury of popping in, saying a one-liner, something witty, and then walking back out. And so I think half my comments are, I like the dad, which is a great ego booster for me. But, yeah, so a lot of people get enjoyment from everything weird and exciting Brian has to say.
Well, that's what I said earlier in the show when you came on. Your blog, your YouTube videos, whatever you want to call it, they're real. I mean, there's no faking it. There's no, you keep it real. And I think that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, the videos really are day-to-day life. I start the video right in the morning. You can see me walking across, going to the shop and, you know, grabbing a tractor where we start feeding. And whatever we got going on that day, the camera comes with. And so every video is just a day in the life of the farmer.
Well, I know Jancy's going to go check out your videos and your YouTube when she gets home and stuff, but my favorite one was you were standing at the door. I love South Dakota. I highly like South Dakota weather. I love, and you open the door and there's a full-blown blizzard going on.
there's no off days. You know, my wife works in town, and when the roads are bad, she can stay home and work from home. Well, my work is outside, and it always will be, and so, you know, we just got to buckle up and hit her full steam and get the job done.
We
got the whole gamut, just like last week, wind chills of negative 50, but we will hit 100, 102 degrees during the summer. So it's a pretty wide range that we get to deal with up here.
Well, you're one of the few farm-related YouTubers that wears Ray-Ban sunglasses, so hey, you're cool. You're cool in my books because that's what I wear. So, tell us about Tiffany. Tell us about your wife. Where'd you meet her, and how long you guys been married?
Yep. So our story of how we met, we just love telling. It was online through an online dating app. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty rare.
So, yep. And so she lived just under 3 hours away from me. And so our first date, we both met in Sioux Falls. It's the biggest city in South Dakota, and it was halfway point for both of us. It was actually Halloween, our first date. But, you know, we were talking for a few weeks, and all of a sudden she sends me a picture of her dad's TV and says, "Is this you?" and it was one of my YouTube videos. I hadn't told her that I made YouTube videos, and her dad was actually a little bit of a fan, and he would watch the videos from time to time. And so, yeah, so that's how she found out that I made YouTube videos. She walked in the living room, and her dad was watching the videos. So
oh, you already got a plus on you, don't you? Plus on your side. Now's her dad farm?
He does not. He grew up on a farm, but I don't know. I think they had a string of bad luck, and so their dad ended up deciding to sell the farm when he was too young to even start farming at the time. But,
I got you.
So, yep, she's from Iowa, so they're right amongst, you know, some of those big, fancy Iowa farms that like to get more rain than us, and even if they don't, they still raise a better crop than us, but you know how it goes.
Oh, yeah. Iowa, man, the last 2 or 3 years is crazy what they're giving per acre for land in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you want to own a couple hundred acres and sell it and get out and go buy you a drone and do YouTube videos.
Yep.
So how far are you from Mitchell?
I am about 25 minutes. So
that's not far.
Not too bad.
So do you ever go to that Cabela's there?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. You never realize how important a Cabela's is until you talk to people from hundreds of miles away that say, wait, there's a Cabela's there in Mitchell, ain't there?
Yeah, well, I just remember, I mean, when I was living in Kansas City, they was building the Cabela's there. And when we went pheasant hunting in South Dakota, we'd always stop there. And the only reason why I stopped, because I bring my stuff with me. I don't have to go buy crap. But the whitetail situation there with all those whitetails on display there is unreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a big wall, and they got stuffed bear and moose and coyotes and whitetail deer and antelope all in this. Yeah, this big wall with kind of rocky scenery and different kind of biomes and different animals. And, yeah, it's very, very neat.
So how far are you from Redfield?
Redfield, about an hour. I'm about an hour southeast of there.
That's the capital of – that's the pheasant capital of the world still, right?
I guess I haven't heard that, but it could be.
Well, the last time I was up there, when just as you was going, see, it's if I remember right, it's north of Mitchell, right?
Redfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's north and west.
West. There, yep. When you pulled in there, it shows that it's the pheasant capital of the world.
Oh, I think their mascot might be the pheasant, if I remember right.
They changed that, did they?
I don't know.
All right. So how's the pheasant hunting around your place?
Around my place?
No. Yeah.
Me or you?
No, you, Cole.
It's pretty good. You know, I heard the Mitchell Airport was so full, they were just trying to find places to put planes because, you know, when pheasant season comes around, some high-profile people like to come out here. It's kind of the heartland for pheasants, so... The numbers have been down the last couple of years, but it seemed like there was a little bit of a spike this year. It wasn't too bad, but part of that is the drought. You know, there's all these dugouts are dried up, and so, you know, where's a young pheasant going to drink if there's not a bunch of dugouts and wetlands when it's so dry like this?
Well, I hate to throw you under the bus right here in front of everybody on the air, but Jancy and I... we're kind of wanting to come pheasant hunting, and we're needing some place to come, and we want to do a segment, outdoor life segment, and we'll let you video it and use your drone on us, so I don't know if you're up for that.
As long as you don't shoot the drone.
Oh, no. No, actually, Jancy, she's well-known around here. I'd have to email that to you, but Jancy did last year. Last fall, Outdoor Oklahoma, which is a big show here in Oklahoma, they came out and did a segment on her shooting or hunting. But they did the segment kind of like you do your show. It shows her getting up in the morning, go feeding her hogs, and going helping her dad open gates and break ice and whatever else they were doing in that deal, and actually showed her hunt. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so anyway, because that's the reason why I think she's wanting to go into some stuff where she can do stuff like you're doing, and that's the reason why her question was, why did you get into the YouTubes?
Yeah. So. Yep. It just kind of happens by accident sometimes, but yep. Yeah, when you got your goals set and you really want to do something, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, exactly. Remember that, Jancy.
I will.
Cole, we need to take one more break, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up with you. Is that all right?
Right on.
All right.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erick. Call 526-3070.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18-ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 19th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,487 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 381 brought 268. 12 at 524 brought 201. 4 at 570 brought 194. 3 at 602 brought 185. 31 at 730 brought 179. 4 at 771 brought 178. 52 at 820 brought 179. 3 head of heifers at 400 brought 177. 4 at 451 brought 180. 8 at 519 brought 163. 6 at 564 brought 174. 7 at 581 brought 168. 14 at 604 brought 176. 3 at 633 brought 172. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 95. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 900 to 1285. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 68 currently at Mangum, Oklahoma. Humidity is 11%. The winds are out of the west-northwest at 21 miles an hour with wind gust up to 27. And today, 65, already past that. Forecast was wrong, of course. Tomorrow, 56. Saturday, 62. New Year's Day, 66. And guess what? We have rain in the forecast now. Monday, 20% chance of rain showers in 64. So, great. Well, Mr. Cole, you back on here?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have Cole Sunny on here from Sunny Farms out of Mount Vernon, South Dakota. And Jancy and I are working on getting a pheasant hunt up there lined up. And I kind of like pheasant hunting up there. It's either you can't start hunting till noon or 10 o'clock when the time changes. So you got time to do all kinds of stuff. And if pheasants are good, you're done in a couple hours. And then you can go help the farmer or rancher work on his stuff. How's that? Jancy's got some questions for you, Cole.
Okay. Me and Jimmy were talking about cattle earlier. What kinds of hay do you guys put up to feed all your cattle?
Yeah, so we do grass and alfalfa. Our grass hay is usually like a brome or intermediate wheat grass or something like that. You know, usually something that tons out pretty well. We hope to put up about 1,500 to 2,000 bales every year to be able to feed everybody through the winter and get to that next grazing season. This year we barely made 1,000 because of the drought, and about 200 of those were corn stock bales that we do if we have to and we feel like we might run short. And so it was a tough year this year with the extreme heat and low amount of moisture. We actually, 2 weeks ago, got our first load of alfalfa, and we burned through pretty much everything that we had stockpiled from previous years and also what we made this year. We burned through about all of it this December, and, you know, we still got January, February, March, and some of April to feed alfalfa. So, yeah, we went through that pretty quick and started calling some friends and neighbors and hauled some more in, so we didn't run out this year.
Yeah, and that went on down here, too. There was a major shortage. You know, a lot of people had to cull a lot of cows down in this area, just like it did, because I read the drought report and talk about it on the show. And, I mean, it was from North Dakota through Nebraska, and Kansas is still in a major drought, and so are we, actually. And hay's gold.
Yeah. You know, there's been quite a few people, neighbors, and out in the area that are getting out of cattle ranching. You know, it's pretty difficult. You know, either you're calving in the mud, or you're not getting enough hay during the summer so you can feed them through the winter. So luckily we've had a couple neighbors that got out of the business the last couple years, and they still had some old hay that was just sitting there rotten almost, and let us have it for a good price. Some of that, you know, it'd be straw or corn stalk bales or whatever's available. You know, it's getting fed. People need cattle feed out here, and that's the nice thing about cattle is, you know, they call them the garbage bags of the prairie. You know, they can make use out of a lot of poor quality feeds, so it's pretty, they're nice to have in the area, you know.
What's alfalfa bringing, a good quality alfalfa, what's it bringing a ton up in South Dakota?
Probably about 180 a ton.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's closer to 300 down here.
Oh, wowzers.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it could be anywhere from 220, 240, depending on quality, up to $300 a ton. And grass hay right now is bringing anywhere from 180 to 240 a ton. And bales, I don't know very many bales of hay, whether it's grass or wheat or rye or whatever, less than $100, $120 a bale, a round bale. So, anyway, so because I noticed that's what you guys feed a lot of is the round bales.
Yep. So we of course grind a lot of our hay too, and every morning when we're feeding our feedlots, it's a mix of ground hay, sorghum or corn silage, and then straight ground corn as well. And then of course a couple supplements.
Well, we got a couple minutes left, Cole. Jancy's got one more question. When you hear music, that means we're supposed to shut up. But anyway, Jancy's got another question for you.
Okay, what kinds of crops do you guys grow in South Dakota?
Yep, so mostly for us, we do corn and soybeans. We've been doing that for quite a while. Haven't planted wheat for the last few years. You know, with the price of corn going up the last couple of years, is just, it almost doesn't make sense to plant anything else besides corn and soybeans, but we do rotate those every year. As you start headed west of here, you do start getting into a little bit of a drier climate and quite a bit of wheat acres and some barley and some oats and of course some sunflowers. They're a pretty drought resistant crop that you can plant later in the year and harvest somewhat early. So There is a wide range of different crops being grown here, but in my area of South Dakota, over eastern and southern area, it's mostly corn and soybeans.
What's do you have any irrigation around there, or is that all dry land?
Right here, it's just dry land. As you get west towards the Mississippi, there is some people pulling water off there that are irrigating, but nope, in my area, it's just, by the grace of God, is what you're watering your plants with over here.
What is, on a normal year, doesn't have to be a great year or bad year, on a normal year, what is your corn average up there per acre?
You know, if we can get 140, 150, we'll be content with that.
Okay.
Of course, Yep. I mean, you start hitting 170 or maybe even touching 200, you're pretty dang excited when you come home from combining that day.
Yeah, and that depends a lot, I'm sure, on your rainfall and the timing, because this is we've been growing a little bit down here, so we've been in the learning stages. All right, so, well, Mr. Cole, Sonny, thank you so much. How do people if they want to follow you, tell everybody how they can find you on Facebook or YouTube?
Yeah, so if you just search Sonny Farms, S-O-N-N-E, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, we're on the whole gamut, even TikTok. So, yep, we're everywhere.
All right, and that's spelled S-O-N-N-E. And, Cole, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, sir.
All right, have a great day. Tell your dad hi.
Will do. Thanks.
Yep. Chancey, we're done.
We're done.
We're done.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hottest country music on the planet.
This is KEC.